from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's the Friday edition of The Fellas All Together live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube, trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. On DFW Sports Station, in case you did not know, we are your home of the Rangers and the Cowboys, who will play their A's tomorrow night right here on this radio station. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, let's get the preview.
Yep, let's take a look at the five players who have the most on the line in Saturday's game. What?
As Bobby tries to down whatever he was eating in the commercial break.
I stopped eating a good minute ago.
We hear you.
We hear you.
Why would we just have looked at each other?
Because you saw me eating.
What are you eating?
Cardettos.
And what is that?
They're good. Here, try them.
No, what is it? Just say it.
They're like a snack mix, like Chex Mix.
All right.
Only saltier. Seasoned, like Peyton's
seasoned
hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
All right, your junk food consumption. I have never seen this guy eat an actual meal. It's just hotel lobby with a bag of chips. What cookies? What this? What that?
I got to eat in pockets. That's how I do it. All right, the Cowboys take on the Raiders on Saturday night. The five players with the most on the line in Saturday's game. Number one.
Hot pockets.
Trey Lance. That is the number one guy. Because Trey Lance, I think you can make an argument. No player in the NFL has more future earnings on the line based on the preseason than Trey Lance.
Oh, I would totally agree. He needs to play the whole, every snap.
And look, you look at the fact that barring an injury to Dak, Trey Lance is not getting on the field again after the preseason. Not for meaningful snaps, not for extended looks. And so if you want to talk about whether he's going to be valued here or good tape for the rest of the 32 teams in the NFL or 31 teams in the NFL, then he's got to perform at a high level this week.
Right. Like the Patriots last night, I think made a mistake. Like they played Bailey Zappi and Jacoby Brissett for a couple series. Like your future's tied up in Drake May or Joe Milton because you don't know what those guys are. You know what Jacoby Brissett is. And you know what Bailey Zappi is. Like
don't know if I want the kid whose confidence I need to grow playing in the third and especially fourth quarter with guys who are not going to make the team.
That's fair. Well, I get it. I mean, because what's going to happen is Trey Lance gets to the second half, and if he puts a ball on somebody, there's a much better chance that that's a drop in the fourth quarter than...
It's like Caitlin Clark out there.
If he was in the first quarter of a regular season game.
Yeah, exactly. But right. I mean, the coaches do a good job, I think, of
recognizing that.
Going over the tape and then telling him in meeting rooms, like, hey, you put the ball right there. You got to be better. You got to catch it. Yeah. And, making sure he knows that what he did was the right thing. Number two, cornerback Eric Scott Jr. Now, he was really not good in the preseason opener. He had the interception, but overall, he was not good. He was getting picked on a lot, and his sponsor is no longer in the building. Dan Quinn was the guy who was the big fan of Eric Scott when they drafted him. And so you're having to convince a coaching staff. You've got a lot of competition. When they went out and acquired Andrew Booth, that puts a lot more pressure on Eric Scott to show up now in games because Nashawn Wright was kind of already out of sight, out of mind, and halfway out the door. And so that wasn't considered real competition. Booth, they've traded for now. They're trying to get him some work in there. That's going to create more competition and going to put more pressure on Eric Scott then to perform at a high level, especially with, you know, Trayvon Diggs and his knee issue coming off the knee injury, making sure that he's still the player that he was before he got hurt. Number three, Cooper Beebe. So now that Cooper Beebe's been given the first team snaps at center, it felt like pressure was kind of off of him for the first few weeks of camp. It was like, Brock Hoffman's got the job. Just work your stuff out, buddy.
Yeah.
Now that he's gotten first team reps in practice, and during that scrimmage, I think it was the first play, the first snap of team period, Cooper Beebe had a missed snap and couldn't connect with Dak Prescott. And that wasn't even a shotgun snap. That was under center. And so those snap issues that have cropped up that have gotten better over the course of camp need to continue moving forward, needs to get sharper, needs to show up in games. And actually, with Trey Lance back there, working with a mobile quarterback actually has a tendency to be more difficult for offensive linemen. Offensive linemen generally don't like working with mobile quarterbacks as much as they do pocket guys because they feel like,
right,
I know my job, I know where I'm supposed to stand. Trey Lance could break the pocket at any time or try to freelance or do something different, and I think I've done my job and shifted somebody over here, and then Trey Lance walks right into him because he's not where he's supposed to be in the depth of the pocket. And so that can create more issues. Cooper Beebe's got to be aware of that, have that sort of recognition, and clean up some of the snap issues.
Mike McCarthy on Beebe, Zach Wilczek's man crush, earning first team reps at center.
I really like what Cooper did. Thought he had quality snaps, both at the center and guard. We're gonna give Cooper some opportunities here with the ones, you know, with the first group moving forward. So he'll start working in there. So he has earned that opportunity, and thought he did a nice job. But you know, also he had some rookie things. I mean, you know, technique and fundamentals. We look like we played our first game, and you know, and that's really reflected for most of the guys.
So he's somebody who I think has earned more reps in terms of the snapping has gotten better. He does show a lot of, you know, positive traits, the way he's able to get up to the second level, the kind of power that he plays with. That's all good. That's the kind of stuff that you would want in a center, the high IQ, the mental processing, all that's great. He's got to be able to snap the ball, though. It's like if you can do everything else as a quarterback, but then you can't throw the football. It's like, well, okay, well, how much do you do for me other than win the MVP twice for Baltimore? Willie Harvey, number four, a friend of the show here. Willie Harvey. Willie Harvey was a bubble guy coming into camp, but he's been pretty consistent during the practices and developed there was a strong sense from a lot of people based on the practices that Willie Harvey was now on the roster. He had a bad game on Sunday. It was not good. He went viral for running into the wrong gap, letting a play blow up. Just it wasn't good. The problem is he can't afford to develop a reputation as one of those guys who practice warrior, can't take it into the game. So this is a big game to continue that progression. Being that he was in the UFL for an entire season and then went into the playoffs for the UFL, it's kind of a double-edged sword. So he benefits from it in terms of he's in better playing shape than the other guys. He's at a level where I've been playing football. I walk in ready. I've got the advantage. And he worked at multiple positions. He played Will, he played strong side, he played Mike linebacker in the UFL. So he's dealt with a lot of these different things that the Cowboys are now asking him to do. But he is definitely, you're going to have to watch out for the fatigue factor with him. Because it hit Turpin his first year. It hits these guys who play all summer long and then walk into an NFL camp. It causes
smaller
a problem.
Too.
Yeah, he's
him and Overshown, you look at them and you're not thinking NFL linebacker.
I would think, if I just look at Overshown, I'm like, ooh, like tight end, wide out.
Well, you know, and that's kind of becoming safety. The new linebacker a little bit because they ask you to do so much coverage. Yeah. They've gotten smaller. That's why eventually they think there are some people who believe we're going to go back to getting 330-pound offensive linemen to just run over you. Once the linebackers completely shift to being 210 pounds, we're going to go back to just running over them because they won't be able to get off of blocks.
When I was in college, the trend was take, you know, like over-recruit running backs and then move them to linebacker. If the depth chart at running back is just so big, just take that running back because they're fast, physical, usually like they're bowling balls, moving to linebacker. But now it's got like, it's the complete opposite. Just find safeties and move them to linebacker.
Or move Micah from linebacker to running back, like Mike McCarthy did at practice the other day, throwing him out there. And then McCarthy, they were like, McCarthy said he legitimately thinks Micah could play running back in the NFL. He said that the other day. He goes,
he probably could.
And then he goes, but I'm not gonna hand him the ball and have him get hurt in practice. He said, if Micah Parsons got hurt playing running back in a practice I was running, he said, I would immediately walk off the field and just keep on walking.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I know I'm done. This is over for me. And number five.
Oh my God. Can you imagine
that? Holy cow. You can't
string pop.
You can't even like think about it. It just hurts to think about. Imagine what would happen there.
Number five, Jaylen Cropper, the wide receiver. So Cropper's made a really strong push since we left Oxnard. It was all about Tyron Billy Johnson and Racy McMath while we were out there in Oxnard. But Cropper is the one who surpassed them, and now he's the one with the outside shot at actually making the 53-man roster. I know that being on the practice squad last year, there are a lot of people who believe Jaylen Cropper can be on an NFL roster. Like, he can be an NFL receiver consistently. He can follow this Dennis Houston path of earning a spot on the 53 by showing consistency and being where he's supposed to be, you know, every single time, and showing the same player at practice and then in the games, which he has shown. He's been that guy in the practices, and then last week against the Rams, he showed up in a similar way. So if he keeps that going, he can follow that Dennis Houston path.
I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised by the wide receiver / offensive output at training camp without Lamb. We have not really had a ton of stories where we're like, offense is dead. The offense can't do anything. Second half against the Rams the other day, Broadus and others were talking about it. And, you know, you'd have to look at that as a credit to Dak Prescott. Against a secondary group who did not have Diggs to start, but a nice secondary group that's out there, I was expecting to hear stories of the passing attack looking woeful without Lamb there.
Yeah, and I think early on they had their struggles in terms of just not like a bunch of turnovers, but just moving the ball efficiently in some of the team period. But they've cleaned it up, and you've seen, like we said, Tyron Billy Johnson, Racy McMath, Jaylen Cropper, like they've made plays in these practices.
And you see, did you notice the one thing? You're going to hate this. I'm surprised you don't dislike Tyron Billy Johnson for this one reason. Did you see who his biggest influence is athletically?
No.
Angel Reese.
Why?
He rocks the single leg sleeve, and then he's got the short shorts on the other side. He cuts his pants, right? He cuts them super short like the kids do. So he shows a lot of thigh on the right, and then he's got the super long leg sleeve. He's a big WNBA fan, has to be. Like big that? Angel Reese. He's modeling his style
did
after Angel Reese.
Did he say Angel?
No, he didn't. I'm putting words in his mouth, but I'm really trying just to make Bobby discuss.
Jalen Tolbert has done that for 3 years before any of us knew who Angel Reese even was.
No, so, absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely has. And so I think this is just another case of trying to give credit to the WNBA where they don't deserve it. But yeah, that was the five players in the Cowboys-Raiders game that have the most on the line in Saturday's game, whether it be because of future earnings or just flat-out roster spot.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Choppy, what is happening with the Olympic controversy over the bronze medal? What is the update on this?
Well, the latest is that she was told to give it back, right? But she was told to give the medal back. But now the new thing is she put out this post. Right, she put this long post out on social media, really kind of going at the whole process. The entire process sucks. So Jordan Chiles lost her appeal for getting this medal back. So the U.S. Olympic Committee was like, no, we have information that shows that we got this in 47 seconds, not 64 seconds.
All right.
They said, too bad. No, you're still up to get the medal back. I don't think she's giving the medal back, though.
Jordan, listen up, Odyssey app. I know you're there. Give the damn medal back. You will win from a sympathetic PR standpoint. This is Sean Shreve, Sean and RJ, PR company, advising you. Give it back and you will win because everyone will feel a lot more sorry for you. And Bobby, finish it up with our hard, harsh take.
All right.
Don't be scared now.
I'm not. I just
don't okay. be scared. You
right.
wrote it.
All right.
I'm gonna agree with you.
Fine. I'm over it. I've never seen somebody fight so hard to be recognized as a loser.
Not a loser.
No, as losing. Yeah. What are you? Were the silver medalist of the losers. You weren't even the top loser. You were
first
to
last.
You're not. It's just disgusting to me that somebody named Jordan would fight to be recognized as third.
Yeah, it's something LeBron Charles would do.
Never in my life would I ever expect somebody named Jordan to have that kind of say.
At least over gold, I could see not keeping it in your house and burying it and putting it in, you know, a secret hiding spot. Just give it back and you will win in terms of people wanting to give you stuff.
You will win the PR battle if you give it back. But, like, she genuinely did. It's like Paul Hamm.
She technically lost. It's like Dez. It's the same thing as Dez. We all saw it. We know. Technically, it was not a catch.
Right.
And technically, she's not the bronze medal winner.
Like, technically, she scored better than the other lady, than the other gymnast.
But in reality...
Because they screwed up the scoring and it was too late on the appeal. They didn't recognize it in the beginning. She didn't. So, like, but this is, like, different. Like, Paul Hamm, he doesn't deserve the gold. The other guy actually did beat him.
Yeah.
I'd have a much harder time keeping that gold if I was him. Than I would her.
Like, so you're saying that the judges admitted...
Everybody really knows that she did have a better event. But because the judges screwed up the scoring with the initial difficulty and the appeal was too late, so she genuinely is the bronze.
All right,
Paul Hamm's genuinely not the gold.
I'm changing my mind. Sorry, Bobby. You're the a-hole. You continue to hate women. The other girl involved in this, she needs to step forward and say, I know I didn't really win it.
Right.
And you keep the bronze.
None of them
won. She's the one who needs to step forward to make the public decision and the announcement.
None of them won, though. It was the bronze. What are we? I don't need a 5,000-word statement on a bronze medal.
I love it, Bobby.
Give back the bronze.
I love it, Bobby.
Give back the bronze and then go spend more time with Beacon. Beacon will make you feel better.
I love it, Bobby. Third place ratings, losers.
Beacon's the therapy dog for the gymnastics team.
Everything you need to know here. You do not need to know that.
Oh, my God.
Here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We may have a special NFL guest. We will have the junk drawer. Shots fired at the great state of Texas. And is this really the right guy to play Madden in the picture that's coming out? Commercial free right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Commercial free right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night. They'll be taking on the Raiders, a team and organization this man knows very well. Former NFL GM. He's got two books out, GM Shuffle, my favorite football podcast. Sorry, Bobby and Broadus. Although Broadus, I wouldn't have to apologize to Broadus because these guys are best friends. Yes. Michael Lombardi live on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. What's up, Mike?
How we doing, guys? Everything good?
Not really. We're missing our best receiver. We got contract drama nonstop. And you had a VEASAN article that was entitled, Will Jerry Jones Go All In With These Dallas Cowboys? What do you make of all the contract drama?
Well, I think this. I think, you know, when you go back and really watch that game against the Packers, and you own the team, and you see how disappointing the effort was, the fundamentals were, everything about that game was bad. I mean, look, Jerry's had a hard time getting to a Super Bowl, hasn't been to a conference championship game since 95. You know, here he has home field advantage, playing against a Packer team that was, you know, struggled to beat Carolina 33-30, lost to Tommy DeVito in the Meadowlands. You know, I mean, they were getting better, but let's not put them out to be the 85 Bears here now. So I think when you watch that game and you see how poorly Dak played, you see how poorly all the players in the team play, the high pad level, nobody getting off blocks, Green Bay kind of doing what they wanted to do. I think you can't turn around and say, oh, I'm really happy. Let me give everybody big checks. Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
Well, Mike, you're telling me you still don't think the day after, a week after, that you need to sign up CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons down the road?
They're going to sign CeeDee Lamb. They're going to sign Parsons down the road, and I'm sure they're going to do something with Dak. But I don't think they have to run to the window to do it. Look, here's the thing you all miss on this Dak thing, right? Where's Dak going? Where's he going?
Anywhere he wants.
Anywhere he wants. Okay, but you realize there's other quarterbacks somewhere? He's not taking somebody's job. You think he's going to go to Miami and take Tua's job?
No.
You think he's going to go to Jacksonville and take Lawrence's job? That's anywhere you want, right?
You're telling me next offseason Dak Prescott won't be able to pick between 3 to 5 teams where he wants to go and get paid $60 million plus?
I think he'll have every option if the Raiders lead a quarterback. I think he'll certainly have an option there. I think he'll have options at another team. But let me ask you this question. Why would he leave Dallas? Jerry would match the deal. Jerry's not afraid of free agency. What does Jerry care about? You're going to leave being the head of the Dallas. Oh, he's going to go to New Orleans next year. Oh, he's going to go to New Orleans next year. He'll go right there. They're $90 million over the cap already for next year. Okay? He ain't going to New Orleans. Not at $60 million a year. Mm-hmm. So you can forget about that. You know, he's not going to Atlanta. Maybe a Super Bowl winning GM, Terry Fontenot, will sign another quarterback, but he ain't going there. Like, where's he going to go? Okay, he's not going to Washington. You know, could he go to the New York Football Giants? Yeah. But the Giants have to pay a 12% increase just because of the state taxes in the Garden State where I live. So, like, stop. Where's he going?
What about
Jerry's
Tampa?
Where's he going to go to Tampa? They just redid Mayfield's deal. They like Mayfield. Their defense is really good. You know, they're just coming out of cap hell, right? They're just coming out of cap hell. Minnesota said, we've had enough of cap hell. We're getting rid of Cousins. So, like, where's Dak going? Like, you really think Dak's going to just leave for an extra $1 million to go play in Tampa?
So for you, it's not Dak's, like, talent level standing in the league. It's more options, and he's not going to go to a worse situation.
You're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You were a star. You're America's team. You're going to leave that to go be a Buck? That's like leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets.
Michael Lombardi here on The Fan. All right, you said there should be no rush from Jerry after the Green Bay embarrassment. What about the NFL
payment principle of you pay more when you wait, that you're just costing yourself money with other contracts that you have to leapfrog.
Well, that's great in theory, and although the worldwide leader can't wait to spread that rhetoric out there. But okay, but let's have a conversation here. When they all say that, how come guys are constantly want their contracts redone?
Guaranteed money?
Well, because the new deals come in and they want a new contract. You know, they want a new deal. You know, they're saying the market's not fair. The market just got blown out. So all this getting the contract done early. Eagles did A.J. Brown's deal early. What do they have to do? Had to come back and pay again. Like, this is such – see, what happens is we got people on TV that have never done a contract in their life, and they start talking about crap. It's like this crap about, well, you got to have a young quarter. You have to have a quarterback on a rookie contract to win a Super Bowl. Okay, great. We have one guy that's ever done it. His name's Patrick Mahomes. One guy. But you ask any fan in any Dallas bar, they're going to tell you, oh, you got to have a rookie quarterback to win a Super Bowl. It's bull. It's complete bull. It's just the rhetoric that gets spread out there by people that don't know what they're talking about. Jerry waiting. Okay. Say Jerry does CeeDee Lamb's deal. Say he did it 4 months ago, and he got him for $28 million. You don't think CeeDee's going to be saying, hey, Uncle Jerry, I want 32. You don't think by next year he's going to want more money?
No, next year you think he's going to redo? I mean, maybe we wait 2 years, maybe
they
hopefully
all,
3 years.
Whether you wait two or you wait three, they all come back.
Yeah,
this is a grading scale. It's always that scale. You're not getting away cheap. There's no. These guys look. They're sitting in. I mean, they're sitting in. The rules are so that it's set up so they don't. They shouldn't sit in, but they are. They're coming back at the table. You got to manage it. I just don't. I think it's ridiculous to sit there and say, "Well, Jerry, why waiting? It's costing him so much money." That's just people that don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Michael Lombardi here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Michael, forgetting for a sec the cap implications, or you know the fact that people come back to ask for more money anyway. When you have so many people, a coaching staff, players, everything else on 1 year deals, does it concern you at all about the uncertainty and how quickly you could see if struggles crop up this season that guys are saying, all right, I got to start looking out for me. I got to start looking out for my next job, and that can create a toxic culture.
Well, I think that's a hard thing, right? I do think that's hard. I think that coaches by nature are insecure. They're always worried about having security, as they should, because we're with such a transient position. But I think if you're the owner and you just watch that debacle, how do you give people job security? Are you sure? I mean, Mike's won 36 games in his career in Dallas. That's pretty damn good. But that loss offset those 36 wins. Mike's done an incredible job, and Dak's played better with Mike than anyone. And he's won 36 games. But he lost the confidence, I think, of the owner because that game was so poorly developed and coached and the players. I mean, it almost looked like they were hanging out the night before. That game is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's one of those bad games that, like I wrote about in the VEASAN column, it doesn't go away from you. It's your moment of truth, and you let it slip away. So, I mean, look, I know it's hard for Mike. I know that, you know, and I think what Mike has to prove he's worthy this year. It isn't Mike's going to just automatically get it. I think Jerry's sitting back and saying, wait a minute, why am I going to reward a coach? I know he's won 36 games, but the games that matter, we can't win.
Michael, if it doesn't happen again and they lose, let's just say in the first round after 11 or 12 wins, and Mike McCarthy is not here, does he definitely get hired next year by someone else?
You never can say it. You know, I would have no idea. But, I mean, Mike's on track to accumulate a lot of wins, and people can make 1,000 excuses for him. But he's won a lot of games. His quarterback's played really well. You know, there's a lot of things to like about it, you know. And I think certainly if you're looking for somebody to steady the ship, maybe somebody would hire him. But we are in the league of right now. We want all these young guys that have never coached before that the general manager can control. So it would be hard. Look, Bill Belichick didn't get a job. And Super Bowl winning the general manager, Terry Fontenot in Atlanta, said he had three candidates better than Belichick. So, you know, if Bill can't get in the top three, how's Mike going to get in the top?
Yeah.
Michael Lombardi joining us here at 105 Through the Fan. All right, speaking of Bill, do you think Bill would actually come work for Jerry?
I can't answer for Bill, but I know Bill has respect for the Jones family. I know he has respect for the star. You know, he has respect for Parcells. So I think a lot of that would have to be over conversations about what they, you know, what they think, how it would work, the structure he would need, you know. But look, Bill, I don't think Bill's of the nature to just say no to anything. I mean, he wants to coach, I'm sure. He should be coaching. It's ridiculous that he's not coaching. It's ridiculous to see some of these teams with coaches that the greatest coach of all time isn't playing, isn't coaching. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll have if that happens, I'm sure there's a conversation to be had.
Mike, can you make the argument that the Cowboys improved their team from last year?
I can't make that argument. I think, to me, Mike Zimmer's a really good coach. I think they'll be more physical. But it concerns you when you're trading for Jordan Phillips, who wasn't going to make the Giants team. You're signing Carl Lawson. And see, that defensive line played bad. Maisie played bad last year. Those tackles got turned. Even Hankins, all those guys that are supposed to be great players, they've lost a lot of depth to their team because Dan took a lot of players with them. I think it's hard to make that case. They have question marks at left tackle. The rookie looks like he could be a good player, but he's a rookie. There's always pitfalls there. Who's the main runner? Zeke's more of a short yardage back. And, you know, they need the guy. I love it how they say, well, if they don't get CeeDee Lamb, they don't have another receiver in camp. I mean, Brandon Cooks is a first-round pick. They treat this guy like he's a nobody. Like, nobody even looks at the roster.
who are the current NFL people on TV that drive you the craziest?
I don't watch them. You know, I don't watch them. I really don't. I mean, I see Twitter where somebody says something completely stupid, and you're just like, I mean, really, you're getting paid for this?
Because
you have no idea.
Bobby's favorite is Dan Orlovsky.
No.
Well, I mean, look, Dan will give money to everybody. I've said it on Pat McAfee's show. Dan's Will Rogers of just pay all the players. Just pay them all. Dan's never run a business. I love the fact that Dan thinks he could be an offensive coordinator. He's never coached before. Like, we're not playing Madden in the basement.
Oh, Kellen Moore's a coach.
Yeah, Kellen.
Joystick is going to be interesting here in Philadelphia. Because, you know, when Joystick gets going and he doesn't run the ball with Saquon, Joystick better, you know, this is not an easy town. This is not an easy town when it comes to football.
Is San Fran still the best team in the NFC, regardless of what happens with Ayuk?
I don't know. I think Philly's really improved this offseason. Look, Philly's a team that in the last 10 years, Dallas has won the NFC East 5 times. Philly's won it 3. The Washington teams won it 2. All the Giant fans get mad at me. They haven't won it once in 10 years. How about this for a nugget? The Giants versus the Eagles and the Cowboys are 7-31. Ooh, and Giant fans get mad at me for criticizing their team. Like, they shouldn't be mad at me. They should applaud me. Because if you're 7-31 against the teams you have to beat, you're in trouble. I think Philly's the best team. I think Detroit's really good. I think what Detroit can do more than anything is Detroit can block you. And for all the conversation about going for it on fourth down, for all the conversation about being offensive, to me it always comes down to who has the best defense. It's just time immemorial. Defense matters. The Miami Dolphins are 4-10 the last 7 games under Mike McDaniel. Nobody mentions that, naturally, because they just talk about the offense.
Yeah. I think the Giants fans may be a little worked up because of your glowing review of their front office on Hard Knocks.
Well, how would you like that? I mean, it's my profession. You know, I had to work for Al Davis. If Al Davis would have been in that room, he would have killed. There would have been a massacre. You know what that Hard Knocks made me think of? I don't know what's a sports bar you guys go to, but it took the guy who stands in a sports bar. He made him look like he could be a GM. That's what it did.
Michael, you know, we got the we've been getting the reports out of New York that Aaron Rodgers, he's holding everybody accountable. He's having these really intense practices, going back and forth with Garrett Wilson. They obviously added the older offensive lineman, Morgan Moses, Tyron Smith. Are you buying in on the Jets right now?
I call the Jets the ifers, and if they stay healthy, I'd buy in on them. I love how Aaron Rodgers is doing all this. You know, if they win 12 games, do you think Salah will get coach of the year? I mean, you know, he can't even get to a press conference and say anything right. I mean, can you imagine he's a head coach and Bill Belichick's not?
How have you felt about all the rookie quarterback hype after the first 2 weeks of preseason?
I mean, look, I think it's good. I mean, I'm watching Drake May right now play on tape. I think everybody just needs to relax. I mean, if you don't play good, look, here's the reality. Preseason, it's cover 1, cover 3, cover 2. That's it. No match coverage, no overload pressures, no Mike Zimmer double A-gap blitzes. It's just very vanilla. And if you have any experience and you're playing with a good group of players, you'll look good. You know, if you don't look good, things are it's problematic. But well, the game's going to speed up. And when the game speeds up, that's when we'll find out. So I think it's good. I think the draft class, I think Caleb Williams was good. I think Jaden Daniels. I think all the Bo Nix haters, all the draft Knicks who didn't think Bo Nix, they, you know, Sean Payton's a really good quarterback coach, okay? You know, he took Tony Romo as a college free agent and is a good player. Like, just stop the nonsense. Bo Nix is going to be a good player because he's got a really good coach.
I know he's not going to play this year. That's not the plan. But what have you seen from Penix?
But, you know, who could tell? I mean, tell me how that works. Can somebody explain to me how that works? Yeah. Let's take a look at this, okay? If Penix is really good and he plays, they wasted $100 million. If Cousins is really good for 3 years, they wasted the eighth pick overall in the draft. Yeah. Now they're signing a bunch of old defensive players when they could have had Jalen Carter, they could have Byron Murphy, they could have had Latua. And, of course, naturally, everybody's going to applaud him for signing Justin Simmons. Everybody's going to applaud him for signing, you know, for trading for Matthew Judon. But they're trading for older guys. Where are we going? Like, they're all in. Like, they're all in. And they don't – they're 7-10 the last 3 years. But, you know, but, of course, when you do – when you sign an older veteran like that, then it happens.
We'll let you go with this. Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, spitting fire this morning here on 105.3 The Fan. What is the latest JFK information and intelligence that you've gathered?
Oh, I mean, I got so much. You don't even want to go in it. But if you don't read the book called Harvey and Lee, you're just really cheating yourself.
It's fantastic. I haven't read the book, but the whole...
But it's fantastic?
No. The the conspiracy theory.
It's incredible. Yeah, well, it's incredible. Harvey and Lee will blow your mind out the door. It's well-researched. John Armstrong, his collection's down in Baylor.
Oh, it is?
Yep, sure is. He left it all there.
Michael, this was phenomenal. You've lit up the fan text and Twitter, which you'll be seeing in a second. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle, The Daily Coach, 2 books, and VSiN as well. And that is why, agree or not,
yeah,
and I disagree with a lot of that, with that appearance, I love that man as a guest.
He's a great guest.
Destroys everybody.
He is. He's a blowtorch.
Is he your TNT curmudgeon?
There is some curmudgeon to him, no doubt. Because he doesn't like the young. He's kind of gatekeepery.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's that off base with some of the stuff he said about
totally
the contracts.
Totally defending Jerry with the contract delays, as 537 are now on the YouTube tuning in for that, Bob.
Lamar, I mean, he's good. He's really good on the air. He's like Broadus off the air. Like when Broadus is, because Broadus is a good teammate, and Broadus doesn't want to.
He'll snap on the air. He'll let it out.
Sure, but he doesn't want to consistently hurt people's feelings. Michael Lombardi gives no care in the world to, am I hurting somebody's feelings? And he's just going, and that's brought us off the air over at dinner.
Where is he right or wrong about the contract stuff where he totally defended Jerry and said Dak can't go anywhere?
Well, look, I mean, he's got a point because it's not that they wouldn't trade their player for Dak. He's got a point with the contracts. They're not going to go there. Like, even if Dak is better than Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville's not going to take him.
And Miami just re-signed Tua, but... You know, I don't know what the situation is going to be with the Jets. The Giants are open. I don't know.
Raiders.
Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay. They don't love Baker Mayfield. They give him a small-time deal.
I think what he's saying is they would take him, but would Dak bother going to the Raiders? Like, would he go to the Raiders?
It all depends on the disrespect question. Yes, trading the star for... Arizona Cardinal doesn't make sense. But are you pissed off and disgusted with the people you work for, no matter who it is? You can work in the greatest company, but they don't value you. So I want to go somewhere else. You don't deserve to have me. And, you know, yes, it is awesome. I thought it was a really interesting, for once, topic on ESPN. Asking yesterday if Dak was a sympathetic figure. Now, I don't want you to cuss me out instantly on the fan text, because obviously an easy answer is, hell no, 50 years, sympathetic figure. Think about it with everything all-encompassing. You do deal with a lot of crap. You do deal with a lot of grief. And he may be sick of it. And if you
if you work for an employer for almost a decade and that employer is showing great hesitation in doubting who you are with this contract delay, you may not want to work for that person anymore, even if it comes with a star on the side of your helmet. That internal disrespect, anger, and chip on your shoulder, it's easy to say, what, are you going to go to the Saints? What, are you going to go somewhere else, a nothing franchise? Well, how disrespected do you feel? To me, that's a very real thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got, they're going to be
Tennessee?
Places.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to go to the Titans. The Tennessee Titans, Dak Prescott can go there and make $60 million plus if he wants.
I don't know that Matthew Stafford's going to play past this year. Nobody does. Like, I mean, does Stafford walk away? Do the Rams look into, like, I mean, there are going to be plenty of things out there that present
Seattle?
An opportunity. Yeah, this is, he will have opportunities. What he'll have to weigh is when he says, you think he's just going to go away because of $1 million more? No, it wouldn't be just because of that. But if it's $1 million more, it could be $2 million less than Dallas. Yeah. And if he thinks he can win a Super Bowl there, I think he'd leave. And that's going to be something that he'll have to answer and something that he'll have to wrestle with. But I disagree with the idea that he put out there where he says that Jerry will match it. It doesn't matter if he gets to free agency. If he gets to free agency, he's telling him, jump in a lake, I'm leaving. They're not getting him back if he gets to free agency.
It's Friday. It's Expressway. We're commercial free. Let's check the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
John Madden played by Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, I don't know about this one. It was announced yesterday. David O. Russell, who is a great director, a fantastic director, is directing a Madden movie, and it's not going to follow his broadcaster. It's going to be about the 70s Raiders.
But like a movie in theaters?
Yeah, going to be an actual feature film. And they announced yesterday that Nicolas Cage will be playing Madden. David O. Russell said, Nicolas Cage, one of our greatest and most original actors, will portray the best of the American spirit of originality, fun, and determination in which anything is possible as beloved national legend John Madden.
I don't know if I see this one.
I don't think Nicolas Cage can play anyone other than Nicolas Cage.
he's in the horror movie of the year right now, Long Legs. Apparently, I actually do want to see this. I'm not a horror guy, but apparently he's fantastic in the limited time that he's in it.
He starring in it?
He's the star of it, or one of the two stars, but like, so he's like the villain. But his part is like, apparently he's not in it a ton. It's not like you would normally be the main character in a movie.
Yeah, this to me is like, especially if you're playing young Madden, this should be a role you give to some breakout up-and-coming actor who you're like, this guy fits. Because it's really hard. Whenever you're playing a famous person in a movie, I think it's really difficult to put somebody who's so high profile, is another issue I have here, where they're so high profile that it's like you have a hard time seeing them as anybody other than themselves.
Well, we got to get a fat suit, number one.
Got to.
And that's where it starts. I'm trying to think what famous person has been really, really dressed up to where it's worked or not worked of a character that was played.
Mike Myers in Austin Powers.
Leonardo.
Who was he emulating? He's emulating a fake character.
Fat Bastard. When he played Fat Bastard.
No, I mean like imitating a celebrity.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo.
No, because I was thinking Gary Oldman and Leonardo DiCaprio. Gary Oldman dressed up to play Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And then who did Leonardo DiCaprio play? J. Edgar Hoover. He did that. And so you've gotten that before. The one that was getting killed a little bit yesterday on social media was Bill Barnwell, because he had complained. He's like, boy, if Philip Seymour Hoffman was still alive, that's who you should get to play. And everybody's like, he's dead. He's been dead for dead. Like, it's so weird. Why are you even bringing up a dead guy? And that like just kind of made everybody
that makes
sad.
No sense.
Who is firing shots at Texas?
Let's see. This
everybody,
is
everybody, because we're the top, baby. Yeah.
This is a study that was done about the most desirable, least desirable states, how people view their states and places to live throughout the country. So one of the criteria, not even one of the criteria, most Americans said 84% said they could be convinced to move to another state or city. 84%. That's
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's
not
one of them.
According to Michael Lombardi.
And some of the reasons why they want to live, or they like to live places, high taxes, cost of living, crime rate, all the things. But shots fired at Texas. and this goes to show you about these polls. Of the most desirable states to live, Florida comes in at number one. Texas is at number three. Okay, so that's very good. On the least desirable states to live, Texas comes in at number five.
Does it say why?
Scenery. Very bad scenery. They said the heat and the scenery is just no good.
No hills.
There's no hills. There's no mountains.
Hate seeing that full bank account.
Yeah, California. I know, right? California is the least desirable state to live in and the second most desirable state to live in.
Okay.
Polarizing.
Because the scenery, some people are like, I'm rich, I got the scenery.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I'm poor, I need some cash. Nicest residence. Texas comes in at number three. Rudest residence. Texas comes in at number four.
Oh.
Very, very rude. Bobby's very, very rude. Most pretentious. Number one, California. Very bad place. Number two, New York. Number three, Washington. Number four, Florida. Number five, Texas. We are pretentious about our state.
It's arrogant.
Like, I mean, you go any overpass, there's no other state in America. We're on the overpass. The state is embedded in the overpass.
That's not pretentious. That's pride. That's pride in where you're from, Chops.
I think pride and pretentiousness is a very thin line. It's like love and hate.
No, they're not.
Or it's like love and like.
Those are two very different thoughts. Having pride and pretentious? Those are not even close to... Those aren't even the same ballpark.
I think if you're an outsider, you would see the line be very, very blurred. Like yeah, love and like.
Yeah, if you grew up in Frank's Chicken House or whatever, right, getting lap dances from Susie, the daytime prostitute.
No, I think his name was Susie. most annoying residents. Number one, New York. Number two, California. Very bad place. Number three, New Jersey. Number four, Texas.
Annoying.
Shots fired at states with the craziest residents. Number four, Texas. Look, as long as we were behind Florida, that's all I cared about. Florida had to be number one. They're not. They're number three. California, number one. New York, number two. With the craziest. Worst scenery, Kansas won. Iowa, Arkansas, Bama, New Jersey, Illinois, Indiana, New York. Oklahoma, 10. Texas coming in at number nine.
Would you move? Would you ever move? Like he was talking about at the beginning?
Trying to see if my contract is set. Would I ever move? It would take a lot after just like getting a house. I wouldn't want to. I would not want to. Now, you asked me the first 5 years, and before I moved here, I mean, I moved everywhere. I mean, I don't care where it is. I'm going to move up the ladder. Now, I don't want to deal with it. After just moving right now and getting into new surroundings, and then you got to research everything. I over-research. Yeah. Good gosh. I over-research. I would drive myself crazy. Why are people not going to be drinking champagne this weekend, Bob?
Oh, champagne. Well, let me pull that up. I'm going to do an RJ Choppy thing right here where I pull up...
stall and delay?
Yeah, this is what I have to do.
Stall and delay.
LVMH.
LVMH.
What is that called? I don't know. It's business. It's a wine business. They're one of the prominent ones, apparently.
MH, I think, is Moet Hennessy.
Is that what they are? Okay. I don't know anything about them. They are just one of these prominent wine companies, these snobby wine and champagne companies. And they say that champagne sales are suffering because people are just too sad to celebrate.
Louis Vuitton, Dior, Moet Hennessy.
Yeah, so sales of expensive champagne are down, and this company believes that it basically comes down to people being depressed losers who they just don't have anything to celebrate. When Chop was just saying in a second ago, like either you're rich and you enjoy it, or you're poor and you want to get out,
yeah.
They're saying that this is those poor people. Their sales are down 12%. Their champagne and wine sales generated $1.5 billion in revenue in the first half of the year, but that was a 12% decline from last year. And their explanation from their chief financial officer is they said, look, the current global situation, the election, economy's not so great. Yeah. People only buy this when they're celebrating. They want to feel good, and there's not a lot to feel good about. And so things going poorly is just making the wine champagne sector suffer a great deal.
So I was at Platinum Chevy.
Wow.
Yesterday in Terrell, courtesy of RJ Choppy, Justin Rudd, Juan, the great team over there. And I'm driving around a lot looking at some of these six-figure SUVs. And I asked them, I'm like, are people buying these? Like, I can't go near this. I make a pretty good living. I have a very good job. I'm not going near this and sniffing it. And they're like, yeah, people are still buying. They just come in with two credit cards.
Yeah.
Two credit cards, but one of this and one of this. And I guess I have a very different opinion of on debt than most other people. But I'm like, are you guys just, are these rusting out here? And they're like, no. People are buying Escalades. People are buying Tahoes. I can't go near it.
I don't know where they get. I don't know.
$120K for some of these.
Where, I don't know where people get their money from. I have no idea.
I know. None. I tell Amanda all the time, like, I'm not managing things correctly. No wonder Trajan Wells said, hook me up, Eric and Zach.
Yeah. Now, there are like 8 million people here, right? So, like, all you got to do is find a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
And you can find it. But my gosh, it's like the price of vehicles is. When I was in college, you could get a good car and your payments are $250 a month, $200 a month.
Yeah.
And now you can't touch anything for less than like $700, $800.
I leased my wife's vehicle for the last 4 years with a payment in the 400s. I called around now to every dealer basically in the Metroplex. And I had to stop telling them that I was looking for a $400 payment because it was embarrassing the way I was getting laughed at. This was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're looking for a Corolla. You ain't looking for any family SUV like you're asking for.
These are my last four car payments over the last like 13 years were 205, 311, 522, and the most recent one is 925.
I do want to give props. I'm not getting anything out of it. It's RJ's endorsement, for real. I didn't get any major, crazy, insane radio hookup for mentioning. At Platinum Chevy, I did get the best service in dealing. I'm not going to call them out, but there's a couple dealers around here. I was bothering them to call and go in. No return calls, no return emails. Wow. I'm like, do you guys want to sell a car or not?
Wow.
At Platinum Chevy with that team, I enjoyed talking with
Steven
them.
Steven Gilchrist,
I get nothing out of it, for real, for a change. I get nothing out of it. That's choppies.
The Gilchrist promise, man. They're tremendous. They really are.
All right, there it is. The junk drawer during the commercial-free expressway. What is your favorite NFL team ceiling and their floor for the season coming up? That's next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.